Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Holy Spirit, help. Illuminate our hearts to your word. Bring encouragement, revelation, transformation, all that we need in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I don't want to sound like an auctioneer, but I got a lot to cover in a short amount of time. So I'm going to try to be intentional to slow down. But I want to start with this question. Have you ever been introduced to others by someone that misinterprets the real you? Huh? Yes? I have, and I've found myself correcting the improper information because I wanted people to know the real me. You know, people sometimes think they know you and they introduce you and they have some experience with you, and I want people to know the real me. So when I'm misinterpreted, I find myself, not in an ugly way, but, you know, I want people to know what I'm about. And I love that God is the same way. He personally introduces himself to Abraham in Genesis as El Shaddai. And tonight I'm going to talk about that name. That name. There's so many names of God that I want to teach on, because everything that he is found in the name. But it's interesting that Yahweh, God, He would introduce himself with a different name based on what that person needed in that moment, and based on the type of relationship he was going to be having with them in that moment. Do you love it? So he would identify what their greatest need was, and you know, he would introduce himself as that name. I love that. You know, when Abraham needed him to provide, because he had taken Isaac up to sacrifice him, the Lord comes and stops him and introduces himself as Jehovah Jireh, his provider, because he needed provision in that moment. It's wonderful. But in Genesis 17, he says this, the word says this, when Abraham was 99 years old, somebody say, that's old. It's old. That's old. Say, I'm never too old for God's provision. This name, El Shaddai, I'm going to break it down for you in a moment. But it's so profound that he introduces himself as El Shaddai in this moment. Because Abraham had been waiting a long time for an heir. He had been waiting a long time to see a fulfillment of something that he had been believing for. And it still hadn't happened yet. How many have been waiting a long time and it still hasn't happened yet? It's interesting. When you get to that point where it looks impossible, he's going to come and introduce himself as El Shaddai. He is. So he's 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram. Abram. Now notice he hasn't even changed his name yet. To Abraham. Abram. And said to him, I am. If you look at the name there in the Hebrew, I am. They translate it in this version of the New King James. Almighty God. I am Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. And he says, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you. So he puts himself first. So in other words, it's going to be dependent upon me, but I'm going to make it between myself and you. And will multiply you exceedingly. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. And kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you. Somebody say this next part. And your descendants after you. Aren't you glad that God didn't just stop with Abram? Make a covenant between me and you. But this is covenant is going to be with your descendants after you. In their generations. For an everlasting covenant. So it's everlasting. It's going to outlast COVID. It's going to outlast some kind of family situation. It's going to outlast some tense season where it doesn't look like the provision's there. Generally, it won't, because it takes faith to believe El Shaddai. Amen? So it's everlasting to be God to you and your descendants after you. And I love that. And your descendants after you. I am so thankful for parents that taught me about being the seed of Abraham. Because even though I grew up in poverty, poverty didn't grow inside of me. Because they taught me the truth that prosperity is not about where you live, it's about how you believe. Amen? So God introduces himself, not to be misrepresented here, as El Shaddai. This name is a compound name. El means God Almighty is all sufficient. It means he's all sufficient, all bound, the all bountiful one. That's what it means, El. He could have just said, I'm El, but he put Shaddai in there. And I love this because here we find the female connotation of God. Shaddaim means breasts, the many-breasted one. Or there's a picture of their writing that shows two mountains. The many-breasted one, meaning the one who nourishes, supplies, and satisfies his people with abundant blessings. The God that is more than enough. And I love that, that God, you know, when we're his children, think about that. We can nurse. There's even verses in the Bible about how he nurses us. And he nourishes us. He has enough supply to go around. And it's always astounding to me how the female body knows when it's time for the supply to show up. The supply, the female can be pregnant, and the supply's not there at all. But the moment that what's been waiting is birthed, and now there's a demand, the supply shows up. And many times, we're not in that state where there really is that strong demand. We've been given a vision. We're massaging the vision. We're writing the vision. We're formulating the vision. And then all of a sudden, we birth the vision. And it becomes implemented. And now there's a demand. You've got to understand, the supply shows up when the demand is needed. But it takes faith on our part to go to El Shaddaim to begin to draw by faith the nourishment that we need from him. You know, a child that won't latch on is not going to survive. Right? Something's wrong when a child is birthed or born and it won't latch on to source. Amen? So many times we go to all of these other things as source. People. And sometimes they got a little bit from somewhere, but if they aren't latched onto the supply, they're going to run dry too. Hello? So I love that this. We find this first revelation of God here. When he calls Abraham to leave his country, his people, and his father's household and go to a land that he would show him. And God promised to make him a blessing. He promised that he would bless those who blessed him, and he would curse those who cursed him. I mean, he just said, I am going to be your source. Look, you're going to leave Haran. You're going to leave your father. You're going to leave all these people. And I'm going to take you somewhere that's going to look like it's impossible for you to be supplied. But you are going to have me, right? El Shaddaim, to take care of you. And all he was looking for from Abram was faith and obedience. So Abraham's initial obedience and faith caused God to reveal his name to him as El Shaddai. Abraham had to show obedience, right? Sometimes God will say, I want you to go over here and there's some people that I'm going to move you away from. And many times we're like, no, this is my comfort zone. How's that going to work? You know, and he walked away. There's no such thing as blind faith. I believe Abraham saw in God someone he could trust. And he left. And he took his nephew Lot with him. You know, there's like people that just like, can I go? Sometimes you should just tell them no. They can't go. That guy caused him so many problems. In fact, I made a reference to Abram slaughtering the king of Sodom on Sunday at offering. He didn't slaughter him in the sense that he killed him. He actually slaughtered the kings that were coming against the king of Sodom because they had stolen his nephew Lot with a lot of the king of Sodom's possessions. And when he gets back, everything that was stolen, because he's got the blessing on him and he's got all this protection and all this supernatural strength to take care of all of these surrounding kings. He brings them back to the king of Sodom, and the king of Sodom tries to give Abraham all this wealth. And Abraham says no to it. He said, I am not taking anything from you, lest you are the one that says you made Abraham rich. I've chosen to trust El Shaddaim, and I am who I am because of him, basically, not because of you. So when he slaughtered the king of Sodom, he slaughtered his world system and trying to give that to him as his source. Amen? He wasn't going to keep anything that the world offered him. I think that's so awesome. I'll teach on that someday. But let's keep moving forward, because here's the thing. When we're in Christ, and we are by faith, we have the same dad. El Shaddai is God the Father of Jesus, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? So when we are in Christ, we are in relationship, in covenant, as a believer in Christ and a descendant of Abraham. Now, we have the very same promise that God gave to Abraham. He said, you will have these blessings in your generation, in your time. He did not omit that. I'm glad my parents taught me that my children will be blessed, my children's children will be blessed, and their children will be blessed. You teach them the truth about faith in Christ. And he will cover every area of your life, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, intellectual. He will do it all because he is all sufficient. All sufficient. I like that he's not some sufficient. I know I could ask you by a show of hands, but many of you know this. There have been times when you went into a situation where you knew you didn't have enough. Enough influence, enough money, enough of whatever it was, you knew you didn't have enough. And somehow, when you got in there, you supernaturally started flowing. Raise your hands if this has happened. You supernaturally started flowing, and then you're like, wow, that wasn't even me. You know what happened? The God of more than enough showed up and took your enough and put more on it, and all of a sudden, you begin to shine. You're the one. Yes, now y'all look like bobbleheads at the flea market. Make your pastor proud. You look like the Taco Bell Chihuahua. Yo quiero Taco Bell. Anyways, but it's true. We serve the God of more than enough. And if I will drill this home all summer as I'm teaching. You will have other ministers in the pulpit too, but I'm going to keep at it. Of what you have more than enough of. And we need to appropriate that. You will feel like you don't have enough. It will look like you don't have enough. But God is looking for faith. He wants you to latch on with faith to Dad and start to draw from that supply that he has for you. In Galatians 3:29, it says this, and if you belong to Christ, if you are in him, then you are Abraham's descendants and spiritual heirs according to God's promise. There it is. Now it's showing up in the New Testament, and Paul is teaching us now, as Gentiles that were considered the cast-offs and the dirty, rotten dogs, that if you go back and read Romans 11, the whole chapter is about how God grafted us in, and he gave us the blessings. He just dumped them on us. He just started beating. Why? Because they wouldn't believe him. They wouldn't latch on. They wouldn't trust him. He said, I'm going to so bless these faith-filled believers in Christ, these New Testament believers, that it will literally make Israel jealous. Your life should be so blessed that it makes a Jew jealous. You know, they were in charge of the banks and everything. I mean, they had the wealth. Give money to a Jew. They'll just, overnight, turn it into thousands of dollars. It's just on them, you know? And they tithe, too, man. They're, like, religious about it. They are so religious about it because they understand that wasn't something that came under the law. Tithing is a law in and of itself. Came 400 years before the law of Moses. So they understand. They can, the blessing is on them. But many times they don't turn to source or, you know, for what they need or acknowledge him, right? And I love this. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this one time, fear not. And he was prophesying. Fear not. I will help you. Fear not. If there were an ant at the door of your granary asking for help, it would not ruin you to give him a grain of your wheat. And you are nothing but a tiny insect at the door of my all-sufficiency. I will help you. Wow. So awesome. But many times we may ask for some little bitty thing. And it's great. We get it and we think, wow, what a miracle. Every little thing is a miracle. But God has so much more, because he's the God of more than enough. And we've been taught that if we desire all these things, the wealth that he's promised us and all that, that we're greedy or somehow we're, you know, we're selfish. No, I think the most selfish thing you can do is to have all of this available to help others with, and you don't appropriate the faith to get it for them. Amen. So our El Shaddai, our all-sufficient, all-loving daddy, takes our weaknesses and inadequacies and gives us his more than adequate resources. He is a nurturing and nourishing father that loves for us to draw near to his breast for everything we need. Let's not live below what is available to us. He has a limitless supply, and we cannot drain him even if we tried. He beckons us. Ask me, seek, knock, and it shall be given to you. But he says, you got to come in faith and believe that me, all-sufficient God, that I'm more than ready. We read it, that I'm more than ready to provide you with what you need. Mark 11:24 says this, for this reason, this is Jesus. Who knows his dad, who knows El Shaddai. He says, This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Boldly believe it. Then be convinced that you have received it. Be convinced that you have received it. And it will be yours. I wrote this wisdom love letter a few years ago, actually, right around this time. And I'm going to read it to you verbatim. And then I think I'm going to call it. But I called it, I named it, A Delighted Receiver. And I took it from the scripture, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Take delight in El Shaddai. Take delight in the all-sufficient God, all-sufficient Daddy. Take delight in him. You know, I do. I'm like, Daddy, you know I want it. And I'm your girl. And I'm a good receiver. I told our landlord at staff meeting on Monday, because he's telling me he's going to raise the rent on the lease and all that. I go, but I'm your favorite daughter. His name is Ira, so was my birth father's name is Ira, so we go back and forth. But anyways, I believe that I am a favored daughter of my dad. I believe that. Do you believe that? I don't walk around with a sense of entitlement, but every day I get up and I say, good things happen to me all the time. Because my dad takes delight in me. And he's my source. So I wrote this, good morning, my loves. I love to watch my grand loves receive a new toy because they instantly express delight. It gives me great pleasure to see them delight in receiving. Not one time have they said, Gammy, I'm entitled to this gift because I've been working so hard to earn it. Or I can't take this from you, Gammy, because I'm so unworthy. It's just too much. On the contrary, they light up with joy and can't wait to discover all that the new toy can do, and they enjoy playing with it. Sometimes they get so excited that they forget to say thank you. But that is being taught and reinforced. However, when they express their heartfelt delight and gratitude together, it satisfies this Gammy's heart, this delighted giver, like nothing else. My grandson, Ollie, recently said, Gammy, I need to go outside and get you something from the dirt because you're special. He brought me a dandelion, and the spontaneous love gift that flowed from his heart gave me instant joy. He was a cheerful giver, and I loved it. I know why God loves a cheerful and delighted giver. I promptly put my beautiful yellow flower in water, shared a picture of it on social media, and stared at it until it withered and fell apart on my counter. I took the picture because I wanted to cherish that moment and have it imprinted upon my heart forever. It wasn't the price of the gift. It was the heart behind it that still melts me today. I was a delighted receiver because I love the giver, and I knew this was from his heart. I can't help but think about how Daddy God feels when he extends good things to his children, and they are grateful and delighted receivers. But also how it must grieve his heart when they reject the good and right things he's trying to give them. Some believe they are unworthy of material blessings and that God wants them to be poor. This belief fits their concept of humility and dependence on God. The Bible clearly shows that Jesus destroyed the curse of poverty at the cross, and that prosperity is the child of God's birthright. True humility is surrendering false beliefs and agreeing with God. To have faith in his word and finish work on the cross and receive all that he died to give us, which includes salvation, wholeness, physical and relational health, inner peace, and prosperity. Again, prosperity is more than objects. It's a life that is physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually fruitful. That includes our finances. Where you live doesn't make you prosperous or impoverished. It's how you think. Your perception of who you are in Christ and who Daddy God is as our all-sufficient, more than enough God are the best predictors of your future prosperity. The Word of God tells us that as a person thinks about himself or herself is the predictor of what they will become and what they will possess. It also teaches that the way a person thinks is the foremost predictor of what they will possess long term. Amen? A person will receive what they believe they deserve. And if you base what you deserve on yourself and your own behavior, you will never receive what Christ died to give you and make you deserving of. Amen? So when a person sees themselves as valuable and made worthy by the shed blood of Christ, they will be delighted receivers of things that are of high quality and value. If they don't see themselves as valuable and worthy, they will reject things of high quality and value and move away from those who have those things because they don't believe it's right to have beautiful things and are intimidated by those that do. They'll settle for lesser things and find or create a belief system that fits their impoverished mindset and believe that they are being humble. It's a false humility that keeps one bound to a life that is less than God's best. And I can only imagine how this grieves the heart of Daddy God. If a person sees themselves as unworthy, they will settle for living in a filthy, crime-infested area instead of investing time and energy and training to get them a well-paying job to afford to live in a more excellent place and safer neighborhood. And they'll just keep contributing to the demise of that area. If a person sees themselves as loved, worthy, valuable, and a royal heir of Daddy God's kingdom, it doesn't matter where they live. They will present themselves better and keep their personal possessions cleaner and in better repair. They will have higher self-worth and take care of their yard, vehicle, and belongings. You know, it only takes one person who knows that they are a descendant of Abraham and that they are a royal heir. They can live in the worst neighborhood ever, and their yard will start to bring up the whole neighborhood. The way they live their life will start to bring up the whole place. Because they receive with delight, it's just a matter of time until they begin to rise out of the poverty they are surrounded by and move into new levels of God-ordained success. They may currently live in a filthy, crime-infested area, but they start bringing the area up because of their influence and their belief system. One isn't prosperous, again, because of where they live, but because of what they believe. So what do you believe? I'm going to challenge you. Do not limit yourself when it comes to believing and receiving El Shaddai, your Daddy God's highest and best for your life. He delights in giving the kingdom to you. I've been bringing these scriptures to you. This is his word. This isn't just some prophet's word. This is the words of Jesus, our Savior himself. There has been so much perversion and so much criticism surrounding the message of the church being wealthy and being able to steward wealth to transform nations. Yes, some people got a hold of it and tried to fleece their pockets and, you know, take people to the cleaners in terms of money and all that. But listen, the principles in God's word work. He wants to give you prosperity. Beloved, I would, above all things, that you would be what? In good health, prosperous and in good health. Mind, body, and soul, even as your soul prospers. So I want to challenge you. Don't be a reluctant or lousy receiver. Be a delighted receiver. Be a delighted giver. Because your dad is El Shaddai'im. He has enough sustenance to satisfy every child. Isn't that wonderful? He is the many-breasted God. And his supply never runs dry. It's not like like a mother has to wait for it to come in. You've already been birthed into the kingdom. He knows you have needs. Latch on. Come on. Well, Pastor, I said, God, I believe you. I'm asking for this. And it just didn't happen. Many times people say it didn't happen because it didn't happen in a timeline that they were waiting for it in. Just because it didn't yet doesn't mean it won't. Delay is not denial. Amen? Delay is not denial. What do you do in the waiting? You keep praising him as all-sufficient God, as more than enough God. That's why David knew him. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. El Shaddaim, the Lord. He didn't know Jesus because Jesus had not come in the flesh yet. The Lord, El Shaddaim, is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I just won't. Because he knew wherever there was deficit, El Shaddaim took care of it. El Shaddai. He has to be that to you. Every day I get up, I talk to him and I say, I love you so much, Daddy. You're my more than enough God. You're the more than enough God. I used to have such fear. Oh, man. Wow, how are we going to... Even with the church finances, we take such dips during the summer. And, you know, this is a traditional thing in churches. Financial dips and then financial dips around the holidays. And pastors are stressed out. They don't know how they're going to pay their bills. And, you know, it's like everything still has to function. It's not like you get a regular check and you know what to expect. You just don't. You just trust God because, you know, at any given moment, someone could be disobedient. And there goes that. It's got to come from somewhere, right? But here's the thing. I learned I will not stress. We operate according to God's principles. And here's what I know. I know El Shaddai. And it's not just what I know. It's who I know. So I want to encourage you right now. Whatever you're believing for, expand it. Stretch it. It's time to go big. To go big before we go home. God did not call us to live small lives. You know that saying, go big or go home? It's true. Go big or go home. Get out of the way so somebody else can have faith to go big. Amen. I'm done. Stand to your feet. I had so much more, but I'm not going to go into it all. I just want you to know this, that John 10:10 says this. Jesus said, the enemy comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, Jesus, have come. This is my whole reason for coming, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In some versions it says you might have life and live it and enjoy it to the full, to the full. If you have never confessed Jesus as Lord, you don't have life. You may be living what we call life, but you're a dead man walking. The Bible says you're dead in your trespasses and your sins. And we know we've all sinned. We've all lied. We've all, you know, taken the Lord's name in vain. We've all coveted. We've all done things we shouldn't do. We know that. There's a consciousness that God gave us of sin. We know that. We need a clean slate. We need forgiveness. We need mercy. We do. And Jesus offers it freely. He offers eternal life freely. He says, you don't have to work for it. I did all the work. Your work is to believe, to have faith in me, and to confess with your mouth you believe I did it for you. That's all you do. And he says, when you do, you will be saved. You will be born again. You'll become a brand new creation. I'll put faith inside of you. And then it's up to you. You're born again. That means you become a born again child of the living God. Remember, when a child is born, supply shows up. Amen? So I want you to make that statement if you never have. Receive Christ. For Christ's sake, just do it. Amen? Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I make you my Lord and Savior. Simple as that. If he's your Lord and he's your Savior, then believe him for what you need. And believe him for what you want. I would say this, if it's not ungodly, illegal, or immoral, go get it and share it. Amen? Enjoy yourselves. I love you all. If you need prayer, the team will be here. God bless you.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.